last, or three sacks in the last five games after five against Jacksonville. Obviously, there's been a lot of upheaval on the O-line. Can you talk about kind of how that group has gotten the job done with a lot of turmoil in
it? Yeah, there's been a lot of, I don't know if it's turmoil is a word, but there's obviously been a change of personnel at a lot of spots. You know, Evan went down the first game, and then Allen went down, and then we started mixing and matching, and then, you know, JP got thrown out of a game. You know, Todd's played guard, Card's played tackle. But I think those group of guys that have all had an opportunity to play have really done a nice job when they were in there. You know, I think part of it is how we train and give those guys, you know, a lot of reps in the preseason, hoping that we're developing depth in that standpoint. And then I think when those guys got an opportunity to get in there, you know, whether it be Gardner or Tobin or Molk or whoever has really stepped in, and Dennis Kelly has done a really good job when they were in there. The biggest thing is just the continuity is always an issue. If it's a new guy next year, how in tune are you to each other's calls and making sure you're making the right decisions? How many times have you gotten reps at it in practice? But I think for those guys, I think it's really a credit to them that they've been able to do what they've, you know, on a consistent basis, I really think, you know, a pretty good job up front.
So. How about Stout's role in that, and what kind of, what's the secret to his?
I think it's integral for any coach, any position coach, I think, is, you know, you kind of see that kind of show itself through in terms of who you are, whether it's Stout with the O-line or Az with the D-line or, you know, the play of D'Amico and Michael and those guys with Rick Minner. And I think, you know, when we put this staff together, we wanted to get a bunch of really good teachers. And I think that's what all those guys are. But I think Stout's integral in terms of what we're doing up front.
Another staff question. Bill Davis, what do you see from him behind the scenes, so non-Sundays, that distinguishes him as a defensive coordinator?
I think he's very thorough. I think I've said since we hired him, he's really intelligent. He's got a great grasp of defensive football. You know, I think he's been in multiple coaching situations where he's coached different types of football too. And I think, you know, he's not always just this where he's labeled as a 3-4 guy or whatever. I think he's been in systems where he's coached a 3-4. He's coordinated a 3-4. He's also coached in 4-3 defenses. I think he can coach the secondary. He could coach a D-line. He could coach a linebackers. He's got a really, really good background in terms of he's diversified on the defensive side of the ball, and he's a real good communicator, and I think he does a really good job with our players.
When you were decision to shorten practices, was that as a result of player feedback, or was that something that was in place all?
No, we've always done that. As the season goes along, we start off when we're on the field a little bit longer from a developmental standpoint, and as we move, we adjust it. Sometimes we do it on a weekly basis if we got a, you know, looking at our feedback from a science standpoint that we need to back off a little bit, and that's always been part of, no matter where I've been, we've adjusted our practice schedules.
When you were self-scouting last week, Chip, what were you seeing as far as the problems offensively in the red zone?
We're not getting the ball in the end zone to be, you know, really. We've got some open receivers. We've got to put the ball on them. We've got a couple drops when we've been in the end zone, so it wasn't one thing. You know, it's a lot of different things, you know, and then sometimes you get a zone popped on you when you were hoping it was man. So we got to do a better job play calling. We got to do a better job putting the ball on people. And we got to do a better job catching it from a receiver standpoint. And I think it's a combination of everything. There was a lot of different little teeny things that we need to continue to work on in terms of how people are approaching us down there and how we're approaching it down there.
Do teams that thrive in space possibly struggle a little more when the field condenses?
I'm lost on that. I don't know what you mean.
Teams that you know, that are really good with, that have players that thrive in space, let's say from, you know, the 1 yard line to the 20, and then when the field obviously starts condensing, is it harder for them to be as productive?
No, because I think the field's the same for everybody. So if you don't thrive in space, when you get inside the 20, you're not going to thrive inside the 20 either. So I think the field just shortens for everybody. It's a lot less area to cover. You don't have to be. You know, you don't have to worry about getting the ball thrown over your head, so you're going to see a lot more press man people in your face just because, like, you can't beat me deep because the ball's on the two. You know, how far are you going to beat me deep, you know? So I think it just tightens up there for everybody.
How would you assess the job Fletcher Cox has done? I mean, obviously the sacks aren't there, but it seems like he's...
Yeah, I think Fletcher's done an outstanding job. I think he's really caused a lot of problems for people in the run game, been a real force, and he's been a force in the passing game. I think people get caught up too much, and the sack numbers are you know, it's not the end-all, tell-all that person's a great pass rusher. You know, I think how disruptive he can be. Maybe he's eliciting a double team and freeing somebody up so someone else gets a free rush at the quarterback and ends up getting the sack. That guy gets, you know, the quote-unquote the headlines, but Fletcher was the one that freed him up. So I think in a consistent basis, in every single game, he's really, really stood out to us as a defensive lineman. I think he's having an outstanding year.
In last year's game, was Arizona still able to get to a lot of their blitzes when you guys used tempo against them?
Yeah, Todd does a really good job. I mean, they got in and out everything. I don't think anything we did affected in terms of them, and they showed a lot of different looks, a lot of multiple looks, and did a real good job in defending us last year.
Overall, has that been a tool that can be used to limit opponents' ability to get into blitzes, not just Arizona, but just speaking more generally?
I think generally, it depends on who you're playing.
Did Arizona's down lineman do something to your offensive line that made it, that tried to slow down your running game at all, whether grabbing or just getting more physical in last year's game?
No, not to do.
Someone kind of saying that they had the ability to get to the second level was tough because of some things that they were doing.
Every defensive line in the NFL does that. That's not a new thing. I mean, there's not anybody in the NFL that just lets guys go up to the second level clean. I mean, that's just, they don't do that in college either. I mean, that's a common,
so
that's why.
Just have a talented front line that made things tough for the running game?
When, last year?
Yeah.
What did we run for? I don't even know.
I don't know, 70 yards and about 4 carries.
On 4 carries? That's a good day.
No, about 4 yards.
That's a good day.
Yeah, it was incredible.
How much do you guys look at that game last year? And, Nick Foles played really well, team played well. How much do you look at that for them to go back and watch that film and pick out things, or is it just completely last year?
We had the question the other day. We look at any time we play a team that has the same staff from a year before, we look at it. So we played the Giants a week and a half ago, whenever we played them. We looked at both the games we played against them because Perry was still the defensive coordinator. So whenever we play anybody in the following year, we're going to look at the game from the year before. So we're look at, all the games they played this year and certainly our game against them last year. So it's just from a analyzing standpoint. But, we're not going back and waxing nostalgic over plays we made or didn't make in terms of it. It's just, cut and dry, hard and fast of what are we getting in 3rd and 3 to 6? What are we getting in 3rd and 7 to 10? What are they doing in the red zone? And just putting that together with what they do this year and kind of seeing, are there any differences? Are there any wrinkles? Is it personnel driven? Because some of the personnel that played against us last year isn't the same personnel this year, and just trying to figure out, how they're going to approach us.
What's the bench in that game? I think Nick was like 1 for 7 as they were coming back. What do you remember about what they were doing defensively? You'd had success up until then, and then in the fourth quarter, not much.
Yeah, we were just trying to work the clock a little bit more, so we were running the ball, and I think everybody in the stadium knew we were running the ball, so they, went to some zero blitz stuff and kind of crowded the line of scrimmage, but you're still working the clock. If you throw the ball in those situations and it's incomplete, you stop the clock. So, you're in that bleed the clock. You're obviously trying to get first downs to stay on the field, but there's, there's a kind of a risk-reward situation. If you say, all right, now let's just throw the ball over the top, they're forcing you to throw it over the top. If it's an incomplete pass, it stops the clock also. So,
what's the benefit of rushing the ball out of the shotgun compared to under center?
I think there's benefits to both. So there's pros and cons to both of them.
That's what in talking to us yesterday, McCoy spoke about from the under center spot. I'm curious from shotgun. Why do you like that?
There's a lot of different paths and angles that you can get in both. So I don't like one over the other.
What has Chris Polk done in terms? And this is a guy who had like I think 800 carries in college, and he comes here and all of a sudden
800
over 4 years. I think he said he
did it.
And all of a sudden he comes here and he doesn't get that many carries, but I think he's never played special teams, and all of a sudden he's made himself a special teams player. Like, what have you seen out of a guy like that who goes from that type of situation to one where you're not used very much in offense?
I think it's prototypical of a lot of guys in the NFL. Brad Smith was, I think, the all-time leading quarterback in NCAA history in terms of all-purpose yards. And then when you get to the NFL, what role are you going to play? Do you want to stay in the NFL and give yourself an opportunity? I coached back at New Hampshire, Jerry Azuma was the all-time leading rusher in 1AA history and got drafted and played defensive back for 7 or 8 years in the NFL. So, I think it's, do you want to play in the NFL or do you want to be a running back? If you want to be a running back, you could go in the Arena League or some other league. But I think it just tells you that they're versatile athletes, that they're really good football players, and that they find a role to make a team in the National Football League and actually contribute. And I think that's what Chris does. Chris has been a really good special teams player for us. James Casey's another example. I think James had 100 catches in one season when he was at Rice, but now he's obviously not catching 100 balls a year in the NFL, but they're contributing. It's just kind of how do you make a team and how do you stick? And some of those guys can make outstanding careers for him. Sean Morey, who was here played 11 years in the NFL. I don't know if he had more than 25 catches, but he was the all-time leading receiver at Brown University. But was an out, his niche in the National Football League was as a special teams player. So,
in these past 2 days, what has Kendrick shown you in practice?
Michael's been running around, you know, kind of watching him get acclimated back into drills and get into the team settings and, you know, how does he fit into terms of what we're going to do as we move forward. But we still got three more training sessions to kind of figure out, you know, how much he can contribute or can he contribute. So,
Were he and Sproles limited because they're just not ready yet to do everything, or are you just kind of trying to ease them back in?
No, I just, whatever the trainers tell us they can do, we can do.
When you're in the red zone, do you just feel like, when you did the self-scouting, did you feel like that's kind of a number one priority moving forward and that has to get better?
No, I think everything is a priority. So I don't think we go in and say, hey, let's get real good in the red zone, but then we never get to the red zone. So, you know, we didn't do a real good job upfield. So I think there's areas on the offensive side of the ball we need to improve in everything. Third down percentage, you know, first and second down, so we're in better manageable third down situations. You're out of as many third and longs if you do a better job on first and second down. So it's just we analyze everything. You know, spend a lot more time in the off week doing it. But in terms of how do we improve and how do we get better, because we've left a lot of yards out in the field that we need to convert into points. So.